Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double 51 is our text number. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock. Roy Scott, good afternoon to you.
Hey Katie, how are you doing?
Right, tell me about your train journey into Dublin Docklands this morning.
Yeah, so it was the 7:45, Katie, from the M50 Parkway. By the time we got to Dunboyne, it was absolutely jammed. Not a seat to be got, standing room only. And then as we proceeded into Docklands, it just got fuller, fuller and fuller. Normally, it wouldn't quite be this crowded, but for some reason, since the January return to work, it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, whether there's not enough carriages or the frequency of trains need to be enhanced, but something needs to be done. There was women trying to push buggies into walls of people trying to get onto the train. People were looking in desperation at seeing if they could, you know, get on board. And then one person collapsed at the back of the train, and he was lying down on the floor of the train. Whether he was after having something serious or not, I don't know. Whether he just fainted from either the heat or the body warmth or wherever it was. But it's totally unacceptable now, to be honest, Katie.
Okay, so tell me, right, you say somebody collapsed. This was a young man, was it?
I don't know whether it was a man or a woman, but there was a lot of confusion and people around the person. I could hear people saying, put your head between your knees and you know, try and relax, and we're nearly in the station and that type of thing. When we kind of got to the getting off the train, there was no visible sign of anybody lying on the train. But neither here nor there. It could have been quite a serious situation then, and there was no way of dealing with that in any appropriate way.
Yeah, it sounds like it is even almost impossible to collapse in the scenario you're describing there.
Yeah.
And as you say, what did people want to put? Like, was there any discussion about pulling the cord or like?
Yes, there was. People were looking for the cord to try and stop the train because it actually panicked that whole section of the carriage when they seen the person go down. So they just collapsed into an already crowded situation. People made space for them to lie down. So, you know, it was just pandemonium, to be honest.
Have you been commuting long, Roy?
4 months only. I was originally commuting into Blanchardstown by car from the Meath region. And I've been on this train now for the last 4 months at various times, either the earlier train or the later one. But since the return in January, it just seems that the volume of people has increased substantially, and the stations it's filling up much earlier on the journey.
Yeah, I wonder what that is, because we're noticing that. I've seen a bit of discussion about this on social media as well. People saying that it's just hell on earth since they came back after Christmas.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reason is. Maybe people that had traditionally worked from home a couple of days a week feel that they maybe need to get into the office for the first few weeks of the new year. That could be a possibility. People may be switching from their cars now because we are being pressed to use public transport. And congestion, as you know, in the city would be really, really bad to drive into the city. And so people are taking the, you know, which has been a really good service. I wouldn't be critical of the service to date. It's been really good and very effective, but maybe more people are choosing to take their option, and therefore it's causing, you know, a big increase in volume and the knock-on effect from that hasn't been dealt with.
Isn't that the thing, though, that we are being told day in, day out, we've got to get out of the cars, we've got to stop commuting in single cars in and out of cities. But it's hard to persuade people to do that if this is your option.
Yeah, I mean, I know certainly as a grandfather, if I have a couple of young kids, I wouldn't have wanted them being pushed onto this train this morning by anybody. It was extremely dangerous situation. I wonder whether increasing the frequency of, I mean, the train is pretty good. It runs every half an hour. if they were to put on an extra train for the peak periods, certainly in the morning, it would alleviate this problem.
Somebody has just handed me, Roy, a tweet from somebody else who was on that train, obviously, Adam Conway. He asked Irish Rail over Twitter, any plans to increase the capacity on the morning trains from the M3 Parkway to Docklands? The 710 is a very short train. Is that your train, the 710 train, Roy?
No, the 745, Katie, but I have been on the other earlier trains as well.
Yeah, he's saying the 710 train is a very short train and is packed by the time we get to Hansfield. Only going to get worse with all the new developments in the area. There's later trains with more carriages that are empty. Well, certainly not yours, Roy. And he's a response here from Aaron Rothearn. Hi, Adam. The government approved an order for 41 new rail car carriages in October 2019. And it's expected that these will enter service in late 2021, operating in the Greater Dublin area, including the M3 Parkway Docklands line. Do you think you'll be able to hold out until late 2021, Roy?
Oh, my God. I mean, look, don't hold your breath. You know how these things go. And to be honest, I think if the guy collapsed and had to be taken to hospital, he'd probably be still sitting on the trolley come Friday. So, yeah, I would have taken my chances just lying on the train. But,
was this a short train ride? Just would an extra carriage have made all the difference here?
This morning, two to three carriages, probably wouldn't have fixed it. I tell you what probably would have fixed it is if they had to have increased the frequency from 30 minutes to 15 minutes, if that was possible, just for, you know, a couple of those journeys. Kind of doubling the capacity on that line may have been an answer. The other radical way of looking at it is, you know, does everyone on the train need to be in the office? And, you know...
Well, I was going to ask you that. Do you need to be in the office, Roy?
I do, because I'm only in the job 4 months. So, you know...
So you can't be putting in that request to work from home just yet?
Well, I've a lot to get my arms around, and the only place to do that is in the office.
Right. But you're thinking maybe some of the other people on that train might have other options.
Yeah, they may do. Or even if I'm radically looking at it, if the government was to introduce mandatory working from home for companies, that where possible that it could be done, that they would have to look at it. Two days a week or one day a week or wherever it happens to be. But that would remove a huge number of people having to travel into the city.
And do you have any other alternative way of getting in besides getting back into a car?
No. Well, I could probably get the bus in, but sure, you're looking at 2 hours each way.
Yeah.
At least. And with the volume of traffic in the city, once it hits the outskirts of the city, the buses are slowed up anyway.
Well, anyway, the good news, Roy, is by late 2021, there will be new rail car carriages, and they are going to operate on all the Greater Dublin area, including the Parkway Docklands. What is the mood on the train, Roy, in these circumstances? Is it bad tempered? Are people stressed? Or is there, you know, particularly when a mini crisis like that happens, are people, you know, do people talk to each other?
Under normal circumstances, people is just head down on the phone, in the book, the headphones on, but generally very courteous to one another. You know, they let one another out of the seats and on and off the trains. Pretty handy because everyone is in the one situation.
There's a bit of camaraderie in there, yeah.
There is camaraderie. There's a common, a common challenge where everyone just wants to get from A to B, and I think people are willing to work together. There is large volumes moving, and in fairness, I think they work fairly well together. However, this morning, in the absence of, you know, any sort of order or instruction or, you know, what happens? Nobody knows what to do in those situations, you know? It kind of went into a little bit of free fall.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, is this just the way of the future? I mean, it's for the last 20 years, we've been looking at pictures and television video of Japanese trains, and we see this happening all over the world. We haven't had it here, really, until recent years. Maybe this is the way public transport is going to be.
Yeah, and kind of I'm glad I'm not starting out my walking life as a young guy heading into the city, because, you know, you will be zombified, I think would be the word, by the time you are 30, because it's takes so much effort for people to, you know, get up in the morning, get the kids away and off of the train and all of those things that life throws at you. If we're going to be facing those challenges on transportation or public transportation going forward, well, then it's just another major stressor on already pressed families.
That's true. Would you stay there, Roy? Because I've got another caller on another line here who has a different issue with public transport, but you might have a view on it. Michael Hillary, good afternoon.
Hello there. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Michael, Roy mentioned there that the picture on that morning train is everyone is stuck in their phones and their laptops and just trying to get from A to B. But this is causing you problems or your daughter problems. Can you explain to me? Explain your daughter's situation to me.
Yeah, no. Well, my daughter has special needs, and over the Christmas holidays, we'd be out both days in the bus on the Dart or the Lewis, and we'd. She's well able to stand, but on some occasions we would like a seat. And if the bus is full, we'd look around and see, would somebody give us their seat? And I look around, and the young teenagers or adults would be stuck in their phones to such an extent that they would never look up and observe that somebody might need a seat. And this is in the seat. On a bus, which would be, you know, asked to be allocated for people with, either as it says on the label, as it says, people with special needs, age people, you know, and or people with pregnant people. So, I'd often have to tap them on the shoulder and say, "Would you mind?" And they'd look up and with embarrassment. Realising that they should be more observant. But, I mean, it is the curse of the mobile phone that's keeping them tapping away feverishly, either gaming or texting, whatever they are doing, and not looking up. So that would be my issue it's taken over.
And, Michael, when you say you tap people on the shoulder, young people in particular, do you ever get a bad response to that? Does anybody ever respond not sympathetically to your request?
No, I don't really think it's a spate of bad manners. I just think it's the addiction of the phone, where they realise that they should look up, but they're stuck in the phone to such an extent that they're not observing what is around them.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say to that, Michael, is that some people, I think, for some people, that the phone is a godsend, because these are people who would maybe struggle with catching people's eye, or, you know, they would be very shy. And suddenly they have this prop with them that saves them from those sort of social situations. So maybe there's a bit of that at play as well.
I don't think it's bad manners, but I just think, I mean, some of them would say, you're right, sorry, I should have seen you there. So in most cases, and it's not every, if the bus is full, if the bus isn't full, we don't have a problem. But on many occasions, if the bus or the Lewis is full, which it can be, Rachel might like to be offered a seat. In often cases, we would, we mightn't take a seat if we're near our stop because Rach is quite sturdy. But, I think in practice, people should have the manners.
Keep an eye out, basically. Keep an eye out if you're on a train. And I presume you wouldn't be taking the train or taking Rachel on a train at the kind of times that Roy was talking about, like the full rush hour times where that sounds like...
No, it'd be mostly sort of coming home time. It's only on the commuter buses anyway, or trains, or weekends. The Lewis can be busy most of the time. So,
and can I ask you, because a lot of people with special needs, you wouldn't know that they would have special needs. I mean, would that be obvious to people on the train?
Yes, no. I mean, it would. Rachel is Down syndrome of small stature. Happy enough to stand and and be there, but I just look around and watch the generation that now is more consumed by the phone than really observing you know, smelling the flowers and looking around, looking out the window or smiling at people.
I just put that back to Roy. Roy Scott, are you one of those people totally consumed with your phone, not looking around, smiling and taking in the rest of the world?
Try to take in the rest of the world. It's very difficult on the damp and dreary mornings because the only reflection back is your own. So I think I spend most of the commute checking, obviously, emails from the night before from other regions and other time zones. So I find that very beneficial in kind of getting ahead of my day. But I do hear what the caller is saying, that the heads are down, watching videos, doing the Facebook and that type of activity. A lady got on the other morning, it was actually Monday morning, and she had she was quite elderly, and she had some sort of like a nervous disposition, like she was shaking a little bit. And only I seen her getting through the thing, and I lifted my head, and I called her down and gave her the seat. And she said, I'm only going a couple of stops. And I said, look, just take the seat, love, you'll be grand. And grand, she was happy days out. But very few times that would happen. Do you know what I'm saying? There wouldn't be too many people looking up to see whether somebody else needed that seat.
Yeah, and I suppose it's just, as you say, in the type of scenario you were describing to us there this morning, you can see why that people are just squeezed into their tiny space and they're keeping their head down, and
yeah,
all they want
absolutely to
do is get to their stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
I need to jump. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Roy, and thanks, Michael. We'll take a break there. 51551.